All right, our last speaker is going to take us underground. We have Dan Sabo from the Georgia Tech Research Institute. He'll be speaking on root sensing for architecture and uptake dynamics.
Well, thank you, Diane, for that introduction. As she said, my name is Dan Sabo. I'm from Georgia Tech Research Institute over in Atlanta, Georgia. And I was invited here today to talk about some of the work we've been doing in electrical capacitance tomography as a new sensing tool for root monitoring, specifically looking for root development, stress indication, and pre-symptomatic disease detection, as well as give you some background in electrical resistivity tomography, how it works, and its applications is a root-soil interaction monitoring system. So why do we want to look at the roots? Well, they're important to the overall health and development of the plant. They provide structure for the plant as it develops. It absorbs water and nutrients from the ground and stores those nutrients for use at a later date. Many diseases that are affecting our crops today will begin in the roots. It's estimated that we'll lose 12% of our crops this year to disease alone, and the ability to monitor for root health would be able to increase this yield, decrease the loss due to disease and increase crop yield. Shown here are some examples of the a disease known as root rot that's affecting various types of plants. As you can see from the top image, the affected plants have a reduced root mass and are discolored compared to their healthy counterparts. On the bottom image, you can see what resource restriction affects the plants not only above ground, but on the root development. So you can see roots are a key missing piece of data on the health and development of plants. And the ability to monitor for root health would be able to provide farmers and growers around the world with critical information on the overall plant health and development, as well as water and nutrient uptake requirements, and would be able to provide information for future requirements, as well as give you an idea of the production quality of the crop, especially for those that are grown below ground, like potatoes and peanuts. This is why farmers and growers around the world are wanting more and more nowadays a non-destructive in-situ method for monitoring for root health below ground. So some of the current techniques that will monitor for root development include soil coring and excavation, MRI and PET scans, mini rhizotrons, and ground penetrating radar. But these all suffer from some drawbacks that prevent their widespread use and acceptance around the world. Due to roots' delicate and intricate interaction with soil, in-situ monitoring for root health is very difficult, and separation technologies of root from soil is both difficult and often results in the destruction of that root mass. For example, the soil coring and excavation is a destructive and non-in-situ method. You basically go over to the plant, pull it out of the ground, and take a look at the root mass. It doesn't give you any interaction details or uptake dynamics. MRI and PET scans are very expensive and impractical on the field scale. Shown in the top image is an example of a PET scan of a root system grown in an optically transparent cell. You can see even through the use of a contrast agent, which is the picture on the left, that you lose some of the more fine details of the root systems. Mini rhizotrons have limits associated with the logistics of installation. Shown in the bottom image is just an example of how a mini rhizotron system works. Basically, you insert a clear plastic tube at an angle below some target plants and insert some type of camera or scanning system in order to view the roots, but you're limited into seeing only the roots that come in contact with the tube surface, so you're only getting a slice view. Ground penetrating radar has low resolution that misses many of the fine roots that are associated with many herbaceous plants. So that brings us to the work that we've been performing over the last year and a half, 2 years over at GTRI in the field of relative electrical capacitance tomography, or ECT. This tool is a non-destructive in-situ method for monitoring root mass and is dependent on the electrical properties of the roots themselves. It was first used in 1972 by Kolpak on a variety of plants ranging from potatoes, mustards, carrots, and onions. In a typical measurement, one electrode of an AC capacitance meter is inserted into the stem of a plant. Shown here. The other is inserted into the surrounding soil, some distance away from the stem. Kolpak showed that that there was a direct relationship of capacitance on the active root mass surface area. But it wasn't until 1995 that a scientist by the name of Dalton developed a model to explain this relationship. In his model, the roots themselves were treated as cylindrical capacitors in an RC circuit. In the top image is a graphical representation of that model. In picture A, you have a simplified root system in which you have 10 branches. B is the equivalent RC circuit with each branch represented by a cylindrical capacitor. And picture C is how the capacitance will be calculated in which the capacitors are treated in parallel. This means that any increase in the root mass would result in an increase in capacitance red. One of the drawbacks to ECT is its sensitivity to moisture content and soil type. This prevents the creation of a universal calibration curve for various plants and soil conditions, which has been the focus of study of this area for the last 20 or 30 years. However, by measuring the relative capacitance changes in plants over time, can you distinguish between healthy plants from stunted and even dying plants without the need of this calibration curve, which is what we've been focusing on. And I'm just going to show you some of the results that we've gotten from these studies. It's all been published in ASCDE and AgriControl. So if you want to look into more detail how these studies were performed and the results, feel free to pull them up or ask me. So the first study that we performed was to look at ECT's ability to distinguish between healthy and stunted roots. For this, we used tomato plants grown in 5-gallon pots grown in Atlanta, Georgia. Half the plants were grown in full sunlight to act as our control group, while the other were placed under a tarp, blocking all direct sunlight to have a stunting effect on not only the plant development, but the root development. The plants were allowed to grow for about 2 weeks after transplantation to avoid any transplant shock that the plant may be experiencing, which is actually fortuitous for us, as I'll get into the effects that transplant shock will have on capacitance readings later. Once ECT was started to be measured, we measured it twice a week every 3 to 4 days. Shown in the top image is the results of that experiment. You can see right off the bat, even after only 2 weeks of growth, there's a distinct difference in capacitance of the healthy plants compared to their unhealthy counterparts, showing that the root mass of the normal plants are higher than that of the stunted. Over the course of the experiment, the healthy plants saw an increase in capacitance readings of 67%, whereas it only increased 34% for the stunted group. By the end of the experiment, the root mass for the healthy control group was twice that of the stunted, indicating that there was approximately twice this root mass development over the course of the experiment. And one final thing to note from this experiment is the rate of increase for the healthy control group compared to the stunted group. The stunted group shows a slower increase over the course of the experiment, indicating that not only was there a smaller root mass development, it also grew at a slower rate compared to their healthy counterparts. After the experiment was completed, we excised a representative plant from each group to look at visually the root development of the plants. You can see on the left-hand side, the healthy root system is much more developed and has a higher root mass compared to the unhealthy counterpart, approximately twice that of the hunted plant. So this shows that ECT would be able to quickly identify plants that are under stunting effect due to nutrient deficiency, which would be able to provide farmers with information for possible applications of nutrients in order to kind of bolster those systems that are lagging behind. Next, we looked at ECT's ability to distinguish between healthy growing roots and dying roots. For this, we took some of the plants from the control group in the previous experiment and wanted to kill the root systems, but without damaging them themselves. So we removed the foliage by cutting it, leaving 3 centimeters of the stem behind and the full root system intact. We monitored the capacitance readings daily as the root systems died, and the results can be seen in the top image. I showed the complete life and death of the root systems just to give you an idea of how the measurements look. You can see over the first 30 or so days that there's an increase in capacitance due to the healthy growing root system. Day 30, we removed the foliage, and you can see that there's a leveling off and slight decay of capacitance, followed by a rapid decay in capacitance due to root death. We then compared these results to their growing counterparts, which were allowed to live outside, and we see that even after only 3 days post-foliage removal, there's a distinct difference in capacitance in the healthy plants compared to their dying counterparts. This shows that ECT would be able to quickly distinguish between living growing roots and dying roots, which would be useful in the aid of the timely application of a plant-saving intervention. In this case, it wouldn't help, but if it was a pest or a disease, it would help save some of the plants. So once we had our fun testing and torturing tomato plants, we moved on to our sites on bell pepper plants. They always looked shifty to me, so using these would be a lot of fun for me. So our original scope of this experiment was to originally look at pre-symptomatic disease detection in bell pepper plants. We were working with a colleague over in UGA to provide all the bell pepper plants and inoculate it with the fungal infection that we were interested in. However, as with many studies, it didn't go quite as planned at first. In fact, we saw some interesting results that turned into a great success for ECT's ability to detect distress. So what happened was that we would have to transport the plants from UGA's lab to our lab. And when we received them, we noticed that the leaves and stems kind of look a little wilted, and we just chalked it up to transport stress, that the plant was just a little tired from being in hot cars and such like that. So I started measuring the capacitance of the plants for both the control and the inoculated plants daily, and was a little distressed to see a constant decrease in capacitance for both groups. I was expecting, at least for the control group, to have an increase in capacitance due to a healthy growing root system. We later learned that when a day prior to receiving the plants, that our colleagues over at UGA transplanted the bell pepper plants from a smaller pot to a larger one. And we believe now that this decrease in both groups of plants was due to this transplant shock, due to a die-off of some roots that are being used as a resource. We repeated the experiment a couple times knowing this and saw the same results due to this transplant shock issue. One thing to note is that the stems and leaves did seem to recover after 3 days or so, whereas the roots took about 8 days before we saw a leveling off and eventual increase in capacitance. This indicates that while the plants looked healthy and recovered on above ground, below ground there was a different story going on, and we would have missed it had we not been using the capacitance readings. This shows that ECT would be useful as a stress indicator or a stress monitoring system in these systems and in these type of plants. Once we squared away that transplant shock issue, we really moved on to the bulk of the experiment, which was a pre-symptomatic disease detection, looking for a PCAP effect on bell pepper plants. We received many plants and did many iterations of the experiments, but I just decided to show you guys four representative plants just so I don't overwhelm you with the data. Top two graphs show the control group, where you do see that nice increase in capacitance over the course of the experiment, indicating healthy growing root systems. This was consistent with the tomato experiments that I showed you earlier, indicating that relative ECT measurements would be useful across a variety of plants and soil conditions. The interesting thing to note is when we start looking at the ECT of the infected plants. For these two plants, we noticed a spike in capacitance around day 8. This was a 50% increase in capacitance in a less than 12-hour period. The thing to note is that on day 8, the plant looked perfectly healthy. There was no wilting, no visual indication of PCAP's presence in the plant. However, on day 9, when we went back 24 hours later, we noticed the appearance of brown lesions on the stem, which is indicative of PCAP, followed by wilting on day 10 and plant death on day 12. Again, we repeated this experiment with many iterations and many plants, and every time we saw a spike 24 hours before the appearance of any visual symptoms. It got to the point that I was so good that I could tell my colleagues who were doing some image processing of these plants that that plant was going to die tomorrow, whereas this plant still has a couple days left to live. We believe that this spike in capacitance may be due to a rapid influx of water into the root systems due to PCAP's presence there, but we're still looking into how to quantify that and actually verify that idea. We believe now that this spike could be a pre-systematic marker for the eventual takeover of PCAP within the plant, and gives the farmers about 24 hours notice for the possible application of a plant-saving intervention, thus decreasing the loss of bell peppers due to PCAP. So I mentioned that we had a lot of plants and iterations. Well, we had plants that actually survived the inoculation and were able to continue to grow. When we started taking a look at the effect these disease had on the growth of the root systems, we noticed that there was an actual stunting effect, and that there was a decreased magnitude of increase in capacitance of the inoculated plants when we compared them to the control group. For example, in these three graphs I show you, the control saw a 2-time increase in the magnitude of relative capacitance, indicating that the root systems pretty much doubled over the course of the experiment, whereas the inoculated only saw a 1.5-time increase. This shows that ECT was able to document this relative stunting effect that this disease has on the plant root development, which we really hadn't seen before. It shows that ECT is not only able to detect a stunting effect due to resource restriction, but also due to disease effect on the root system. Finally, this is just showing more data from the stunting effect of the disease on the plant. This was some plants from the transplant shock study. You can see that after day 8, the plant did recover and did eventually grow its root system. However, the root system only grew about 1.5 times, whereas the inoculated that survived showed a 1.25 time increase. We're currently looking into a way to calculate the stressing effect as a decrease in root growth per day when we compare it to the control group, to gain some information on how PCAP is affecting the plants that survived and seeing if they will affect the plant's development later down the line. These three studies show that ECT would be useful for providing information to farmers, again, for applications of interventions and resources in order to help fight off these infections. Now I just want to move in a slightly different direction and talk about electrical resistivity tomography, the background on it, and its possible applications in looking at a root-soil interaction and moisture movement around root systems. So shown in the top graphic is how ERT is able to monitor resistivity several meters below the ground. In the simplest terms, it's a modified four-point resistivity probe, in which you have four probes, C1, C2, P1, and P2. In two of the probes, you inject a current into the ground using probes C1 and C2, and you measure the potential difference across probes P1 and P2. The depth and dimension of the resistivity measured is dependent on that probe distance, and you can see from the graphic that as the current and potential probes move a distance away from one another, the depth and dimension increases. There are electrical survey stations that will run through a variation of these probe distances to provide a survey of resistivity of different depth and dimension. And the resistivity obtained from these types of surveys is known as a pseudo-section, and is displayed in a vertical section known as a pseudo-section, which is the middle image in the left-hand side. A mathematical treatment or data inversion has to be performed on this pseudo-section in order to provide a true resistivity map with proper spatial dimension and is known as a topogram, the example of which is in the bottom. From this graph, you can see areas of high and low resistivity, and therefore areas where moisture is more likely to be present and less likely to be present. I was fortunate enough to be able to borrow an ERT setup from a colleague at UGA and was able to perform our own initial experiments using ERT and tomato plants grown in a large plastic trough, which is shown in the top right image. The bottom right is just a setup of the wires that carry the current and measure the potential, or these yellow lines. The probes are kind of hard to see, but a line where the black sections are on the wires, but a line up with the stems of the plants, hoping to catch the bulk of the root mass and the taproot. And so we were monitoring for the moisture movement around these root systems in the tomato plants. So shown here is just some preliminary ERT data of this experiment, 1 day post-watering up to 13 days with no additional water being added. The green arrows indicate the placement of the root systems themselves. The numbers across the top of the topograms are the probe placement. And one final thing to note is that blue indicates areas of low resistivity, and red indicates areas of high resistivity. You can see under the middle and left right-hand plants, the areas almost directly below them increase in resistivity over the course of the experiment, indicating that the roots are absorbing the water and changing the resistivity of the soil around them. One interesting thing that we saw was that under the left plant, we didn't see this occurrence directly below the plant, but slightly to the right, indicating that we're catching a root mass that's offset from the center of the plant. And these roots may be growing in this direction due to a possible water pocket being there during early plant development. So initially, we can see that ERT would be very useful in monitoring for this moisture movement around root systems and be able to provide farmers with information on watering regimes that would be useful in deciding if they really do need to water or if they can hold off a couple of days. So today I've shown you that ECT has been able to show different capacitance readings for healthy plants when compared to stunted, and can quickly identify dying plants, which would be useful in the application of plant-saving interventions. ECT was also shown to be able to pre-systematically detect the fungal infection known as PCAP 24 hours before the appearance of any visual symptoms in the canopy of bell pepper plants. And the consistent pattern of capacitance increase for healthy growing root systems indicates that ECT can non-destructively monitor for changes in the root systems due to various factors, such as disease, stress, and growth-inhibiting factors. While not yet being able to pre-systematically detect the disease, identify a disease, pre-systematic detection allows the farmers the chance for a timely application of interventions, as well as the use of targeted interventions, which not only reduces the cost, but also reduces the amount of chemicals being released into the environment. Initial reports show that ECT is a valuable tool for root monitoring and disease detection. And finally, ERT has the ability to provide critical information on the root-soil interactions, as well as monitoring water distribution in the soil within the roots. These techniques combined would be very useful for farmers and growers around the world, providing information on root health and hopefully increasing the crop yield, which is sorely needed. With that, I'd like to thank GTRI for the opportunity to perform these studies, the organizers of this conference for the invitation to come talk to you about my work today, and to all of you for taking the time to listen to my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.